You're all that really matters. Wow. That's a lot to say.
Oh, no.
When so much is going on and so many things are competing for importance in our lives, it seems like just to show up here on Sunday morning is difficult, isn't it? But somebody really needs a sign from God this morning. That's why I made one. Who needs a sign from God? Who needs a sign from God? Is it you, Nikki? You know, some of us have been, it's a tough week. And we really need to know this. This is all I've got, folks. This is all I got to give, okay? If you want to hear, hellfire and brimstone or, condemnation or a mixed message or, something else, this is all I got. And I'm sticking with it. You know, I'm 74 or 75 years old. One or the other, I can't remember. And it's come to this. Anybody got a cell phone? Does anyone in this room have a cell phone? Let's take a picture of this and send it to Pastor Sandy. Okay? She's out of town. And she really needs this. We all need to know how much God loves us. Yes. That's what we need to know. That's all we need to know. That's all that really matters, folks. Because if you know this, you can have confidence. Did you get it, folks? If you know this, if you can carry this, you'll have this. Confidence. Remember, I love when Pastor Sandy does this. She sends us home with stuff. To remind us all during the week of what we learned the week before. And she cut out these, hand cut out all these little hearts herself. I don't know where she got them. And she gave us a message that I forgot totally. And she says, during the message, I want you to write in this little wooden heart, what is on your heart? And because I know this, I have this. I have this. I can have confidence, folks. I can stand up before you and in the face of adversity, the storms of life, I can stand up and tell you I have confidence. I have confidence in God that He loves me and wants the best for me. In this hour we're living in, this is our mission. I'm telling you, this is our mission, and it's a mission possible. It's not a secret mission. It's a mission. The world needs to know that God loves them. They don't need to know, okay? They don't need to know how bad a sinners they are, okay? Or how bad they got it all wrong, or what. Or they're on the wrong side, or they need to get on the right side to get right. They don't need to know that. They need to know one thing. The thing that never fails, and why do we try everything else first before that? I love you. I love you. I love you. That's what they need to know. That's our mission. That's our mission, to let people know. Let people know. Laura, you need to know this. This week, tough week. Tough week. Thank God for social media that, you can tell everybody your business. And they can pray for you. God knows I do. And that they can pray for you, for your kids, for your health, for your move. You know, move is a big, huge, traumatic thing. Megan moved this weekend. I wouldn't even be here. I am shocked. I thought you'd say, I'm calling in. This is it. I'm done. Roger's in the booth. And they moved yesterday. Confidence in God's love and their mission. their mission. They have a mission from God, but it's not, we don't do it alone. It's a co-mission. It's a co-mission with God to let people know that he loves them. While they were yet sinners, I'm not giving any mixed messages, folks. There's no mixed message out of there. Mixed messages are about control. That's what they're about. They beat you up 1 week and they set you free the next. So that they can beat you up the next, so they can set you free the next week, they call ministry. Uh-oh, take it easy. That's my ministry. No, there's one ministry. I love you. Right there. The ministry's been done, folks. Okay? Once and for all, it's been done. It is finished. Okay? He redeemed or reconciled the whole world unto himself. You need a bigger God. You need a bigger God. He reconciled the whole, that word world is universe, to himself. Does that make me a universalist? Well, don't label me, okay? I just love God. No, he's bigger. Bigger than my pea brain. Bigger than my little heart. Okay? I know he is bigger, and he can do more than I can even ask or think. In Ephesians, he says that. He can do above and beyond what I can even ask or think. So I'm thinking one thing, and he's already done another. Bigger. He's not recognized if you're a man, you're a woman, you're white, you're black, you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're a Baptist, you're a Pentecostal. He's God. And he's bigger than all of it. Bigger than all of it. And it's a journey, folks. It's a journey. And I'm on this journey, and I'm in this place, but you might be in another place. You're not there yet. And my mission is to get you there, to help you get to that place, to help get you to that place. And I want to look. I want to look. Remember to send that picture to Sandy. Woo! She's rejoicing, I'm sure. Oh, I'm glad she's on vacation. Huh? Turn in the book of Acts. It's Paul's mission. You know, it's not Paul's missionary journey, but his journey. He's already under arrest for what he's done. How many are willing to get arrested for what you're doing, for what you believe, for what you stand for? Many of you did. You put yourselves on the line. Back when we stood out in front of abortion clinics, put ourselves right on the line. Stood up, went to jail. I know many people went to jail. Short periods of time, disobedience, passive disobedience, but we're still fighting in different ways. We helped build a clinic for women, young women, walk them through their pregnancy and their birth. Just a whole other approach to it in the journey of saving lives. I can't condemn what one person's doing, and exalt what another person's doing. It's where they are at in their journey. They're on a journey. And you don't need to be where I'm at. I'm too old. Am I still the oldest person in the room? Maybe. That's weird. How did that happen? Oh my gosh. Doug's catching up. He's catching up. You'll go to these churches, you look around. I went to my daughter's church. It's a millennial church. I stood out. Woo! I just stood out there, looked across the room. Oh, there's one. There's one, Oh, my gosh. My wife and I went dancing the other night, and we decided, when I was diagnosed with lung cancer, that we were going to dance more. That was on our bucket list. So we went out dancing, to a winery, and some girl came up, I want to dance with you. It's like dancing with my meemaw. It's like dancing with my meemaw. My wife said, I'm not complimented on that, But anyway, here we are in a journey. We're on the journey together. And Paul has been arrested for what? Preaching the kingdom. Preaching the kingdom. It says three times. Preaching the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of change, in the midst of a government, the Roman government, corrupt government, he's preaching a kingdom. And who comes against him? The religious. the Jewish leaders come against him. And they want to kill him because it's going to cost them their ministry. It's going to cost them their ministry. In fact, you know, they're mad. They try to stone him. The Romans intervene and save his life, okay? And he says, I want to go stand before, you know, whoever was in charge at that time. I saw it, but I forgot. But anyway, I want to go to Rome. You know, I want to go to Rome and stand trial. And so he's a prisoner of Christ. Prisoner of Christ. And two people hate him. Not just one. The Jews and the Romans want to kill him. Whew. Talk about hatred. Oh, my goodness. Wow, we think we're witnessing hatred today between factions, you know. And it's a world of change, just like we're in a world of change today. We live in a post-Christian society. It's not going back to the way it was, folks. I'm sorry. You can pray all you want. It ain't going back. It's not going back. Ultimately, man is not going to carry it back. That's just my opinion. You know, it's not going to be like it used to be. You know, where the woman wore long dresses and churned butter, you know. And if you were in trouble with the religious, they put you in stocks. Sinner. You want to go back there? I mean, this, it's not going back. And it's difficult to operate in this culture. It's difficult for us to really know how to function in this culture and find ourselves and be relevant to society. Because somehow we have to have this mission of being relevant, you know? We can't be archaic. We can't be just stupid. We can't be critical and judgmental all the time. And that's what we're known for. Oh, those Christians, you know? I'm a Jesus follower. You know, I know Steve Witt was calling himself a Jesus follower. I'm a Jesus follower, you know. It's safer today than being called a Christian, you know, because sometimes it brings up all kinds of weird connotations, and I don't like being labeled. You know, I'm an individual. I got my own thoughts. Why? Because I'm in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I have a personal relationship. Why? Then I can take this word and personalize it. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to take the word to another level. It's called Rhema. Rhema of the word. The word is alive. It's Christ himself. It says right there, then the centurion found a ship going to Alexandria, sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. So here we are. On board together, you know. We're together in this ship called the church. And the church is changing, folks. Have you ever noticed that a lot of people just come once a month? I have, because I'm a pastor. And a lot of families are so busy with homecoming and sports and yada, 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 and whatever it is, they're here once a month. Now, I was always there every Sunday, still am. But my kids aren't. And I was there on Wednesday, too. You know? No, we get them once a month, twice a month, maybe. You know? That's changing. Will it ever go back to the way it was? I don't think so. Are people going to get less busy? Well, unless everything crashes. You know? I mean, I'm waiting for that crash when all the electronics go, because I still don't trust them. You know, if I send a text, I call somebody. You know, just to make sure it got there. You know, do you do that, Megan? No. Did that text get there? I don't trust it. How could it make it through the air like that? You know what I mean? Onto their phone, you know? I mean, that doesn't work for me, you know? So anyway, I like the old-fashioned. Remember the old-fashioned thing? Hello. You know, ring, ring, ring. Oh, my goodness. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off of Kendas, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Solomon, first place of grace. I asked people to bring their Bibles this morning because you can write it. First place of grace. Grace, according to Psalm 91, is a refuge. Let's go to Psalm 91. How many know Psalm 91? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, what? Under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm almost there. Psalm 91. There we go. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a picture of grace. Overshadowed by his love. Overshadowed by his mercy. It's a place of grace. It's a place of grace. I will say of the Lord. Can you say this of the Lord? He is my refuge. Place of grace. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Wow. Wow. We learned so wonderfully, so eloquently last week of Willie's journey. Thank you, Willie, for that tremendous message on your journey. Going through a difficult storms of life. Oh, my gosh, through the storms of life. Going through all those, the most horrendous thing you can imagine happened to a family. And he was there in a refuge from that storm. He articulated beautifully with humor and seriousness and love and everything how he made it through. How he made it through. And I'm telling you, trouble's coming, folks. Did I see this coming? No. I went in for a chest cold. You know, did I see this coming? Absolutely not. I'm the guy that went to pray for everybody else. That's what I was. I was a guy, you know, and stood out in the parking lot going, whew. Thank goodness not me. But then it became me. You know, trouble's coming. It's not going to get easier. You think it's nasty now? Wait till the elections. Oh, where are you going to stand then? Are you going to get nasty too? You're going to get angry? You're going to get bitter? You're going to let it change your life, control your life, manipulate your emotions, manipulate your soul? Take your soul, your very soul of love and grace and mercy right out of your heart? Is that what you're going to let it do? Oh, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. What will be issuing out during that time? Oh, it's change is coming. This country is changing. You cannot stop this country from changing. It's not going to be like it was. It will never be like that again. In 1964, when I was a teenager, gas was 25 cents. I looked it up. Of course, the average income was $6,000. You know? But I remember having four quarters sitting at the bar and ordering four beers. You know? Then they messed it all up and went to 35. Darn, that was inconvenient. Then you had to break $2, you know. What a conspiracy. I like four beers for a dollar. But it changed. It changed, and everything's changing. Your money's never going to be as worth as more as it is right now. It is, just isn't. You know what I mean? Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's just, I do appreciate the fact that oil fluctuates, you know, and you can look for a better price for gas. But I mean, everything is changing, and somehow we have to know how to journey through that change, through those seas, those dark seas. We have to know how to do that. Oh, are you going to say of the Lord, in him I trust, in him I trust? Because I'm telling you, you're not going to be able to trust any of them. I don't put my trust in man. It tells me not to put my trust in man. I go to God. I can't put my trust in media. I can't. I mean, it's only going to get more manipulating and weird. It only is. What's going to be virtual? What's going to be real? You're not going to be able to tell. Whew. But you know, a honeybee knows a real flower from a false flower. I keep bees. I can't attract them with the false flower. I just can't attract him with false. So you're going to have to know that his love is real. Where did I hear that before? Where did we hear that? His love is real. His love is real. We want the real thing, don't we? Oh, I want the real thing. There's a lot. There's, oh, my gosh. There's a lot of faux stuff out there. foe. You know, I mean, like faux beams. You ever see a faux beam? It looks like a real beam, but it ain't a beam. It's plastic. I mean, there's faux furniture. There's faux. Oh my gosh, home goods. I just love home goods. Nah. You know, oh my, I love antiques, okay? I love old stuff. Not stuff that looks like old stuff or made to look like old stuff. You know, I like the real. Oh, keep laughing. Keep laughing. Just good like a medicine. It does good like a medicine. Don't laugh too hard. Don't hurt yourself. More, Lord. More, come on. Give some to him. Do what he needs. He's been working way too hard. He told me the other day. More, Lord. Come on. Okay. Come alongside to help. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Joy. Peace. That's what we're going to need. The real thing. The real joy. The real peace. That's what we need. Oh my gosh. The real love. Where was I? Acts 27. Oh. Whew. Wonderful. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens. Fair Havens. Another place of grace. What's a fair haven for you? You know, I mean, is it Alpha on Wednesday night? Is that a fair haven for you, where you can come in a place and talk about, you know, Christ, Jesus? You can talk in a unthreatening place. Is it the group that say, yeah, Betty, thanks for helping me, and I run, you know, called SOS. What's support of survivors? Yeah. Where you can come and you know, I come in, I go, yeah, my name's Dave. You know, I've been divorced. I was an alcoholic and I had lung cancer and I'm late and I'm a procrastinator and, you know, whew, and my wife's mad at me. You know, so you can come and say whatever, you know, I just lost my mom or my child, and have support. That's what we need. That's a place of grace. That's a place of grace. Is it Rhonda's house for the women's Bible study, where you come together, you know, in a living room and they pour out love on you in the good news of Jesus Christ? That's a place of grace. Not to mention this morning where, you know, the worship team comes. You know, the worship is part of our DNA in this church. Not every church has DNA worship. Okay, it's part of our DNA. It's family-led, family-raised, down on the farm. You know what I mean? Humanely treated. I mean, it's right here. And we go far too long. You know, I try to get them to stop doing it, you know, because they're cutting into my time, you know what I mean? But if you don't like that, you don't like our DNA. You don't like who we are. This is who we are. It makes up who we are. And we do a good job at it. But it's a place of grace. Because what is released in that 40 minutes, whatever, is so needed. It's after a week. What is your place of grace? You know, mine used to be the bar. I felt more comfortable sitting on a bar stool than any place on the planet. You know, with all these complainers around me. You know, we got to complain about politics and our wives and our neighbors. And, you know, it was just so much fun. But it wasn't good for me. It didn't help me. It didn't encourage me. It didn't bless me. We need a place of grace. We need to find places of grace and make time to get in those places. I don't know what it is for you, but it's a safe harbor. Now, when much time had been spent, sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over. So it's late October. They're talking about the fast, the holy days was over. And it's contrary on the sea at that time. You know, it's contrary. It's wild. Saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. And that's a matter of opinion. Okay. I think some lives are going to be lost. And we've seen it already. More lives are going to be lost in this culture that we live in. I thank God it didn't happen again. You know, it seemed like every time I preached for a while, there was a mass murder. Thank God there was no huge mass murder. But I think it will happen again. It will happen again. It's my opinion. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship by the things spoken to Paul. Who are you listening to? Whose opinion are you listening to? That's very important. CNN? Fox? Oh, I didn't say it fast enough. CNBC? CB? What? I mean, who are you? Who are you listening to? What is your source of information? That's critical to your output, to your family. It's critical to your soul. It's just so critical to your how you feel about things. It's critical. You know, the end is near. The end is near. If you hear that every week, you'll believe it. And you'll just stop doing stuff, you know? Or you'll just start doing stuff, charging a lot of stuff. And, you know, I mean, we have time. We have time on this vessel. We have time on this journey. I found that out. We have more time, and I'm asking for more. And if I get more, I'm going to preach, I love you, I love you, I love you. That's all I'm going to preach. I, you know, all that, Dave, he's just going to tell us God loves us again. Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I'm going to try different ways to do it. You know, I'm going to dance and do it. You know, I'm going to shout and do it. You know, I'm going to joke around and do it. But I'm going to tell you, he loved you. You're going to walk away saying, God loved me. God loves me. While I was yet a sinner, and he hasn't changed his mind at all. I better get going here. And he says, because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there by means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the south and northeast, and winter there, from grace to grace. See, we move from harbor to harbor, from grace to grace. You know, maybe you've been in one church for a long time and you don't sense that that's a place of grace for you anymore. So then you, and not that it isn't, it, you know, it's just not for you. So you move to another place of grace. You know, or maybe it's a house. A home can be a place of grace. And maybe you just sense in your mind, this no longer meets our needs. So you need to move to another home where you find peace and grace and a refuge from the storm. You need a refuge from the storm, folks. Sometimes that means turning off the TV, spending time with one another. You need that time. And when the south wind blew softly, opposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. And not long after, the tempestuous headwind rose again, called Arachliodon. Sounds like a monster, doesn't it? Arachliodon. Massive change is on the way. It's called a northeaster. That's the definition. Called a northeaster, okay? So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind anymore, they let it drive. Or they turned it around and just went with the flow. And sometimes you just got to go with the flow, folks. You just got to go with the flow. You can't spend your whole life going against the flow. Go with the flow. You know, if something's flowing that way and you hear that, you know, it's God, go with the flow. Just go with the flow, whether you totally agree with it or not, you know. If you think we should be doing 3 songs and we're still doing 5, go with the flow. You know, I'm picking on the worship team today. Sorry. It says, in running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, they were secured the skiff with difficulty. Another place of grace. Mark it right down in there. Another refuge, a place where you could find security. They secured the smaller boat, the skiff. And when they had taken on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, fearing lest they should run aground. And they struck sail and so were driven. And because they were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. They threw some stuff overboard. What needs to go? What needs to go in your life? So you need to lighten the load. It's pulling you down. You're going to sink if you don't lighten the load. Well, bless God, I'm old. You know, and my mother was a Republican. You know, I'm going to be a Republican. My grandmother was a Democrat. You know, whatever. Lighten the load. You got to lighten the load or you're going to go down and you're going to take your family down with you. You got to lighten up. You got to throw some stuff overboard. You just have to. You're doing damage. You're going under, folks. I'm telling you. That's what's happening. That's how you personalize the Word of God and realize that you need to do something. God's doing something. You need to throw some stuff overboard. It says on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. Wow. You know how important the tackle is? You know? I mean, the church might have to change. We might have to throw some stuff overboard. You know? Amen, brother. Oh, I hate when people say that, you know. Are you on fire for the Lord? Not like I should be. Not like I should be. What does that mean? I know what it's supposed to mean. But, does everybody getting it? The people that come in this door? I mean, are they getting that, you know? Phew. I mean, some things have to change our language. We have to throw some of this overboard. Are you saved? You know, are you lost? I mean, that's kind of wow. It says, and when they threw stuff overboard, what did they throw overboard? It says to tackle with their own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. Oh, it's a tempest. It's dark out there. It is really dark. There's a tempestuous wind blowing for real. I'm telling you, for real, in our lives. And hope that all would be saved was lost, was finally given up. But after a long abstinence from food. How many like fasting? Where's the hands? Fasting. Sometimes fasting is appropriate. You know, I went through a long fast from different things to try to change my condition. Fasting. Sometimes it's very important. So when he said, and when they abstained from men, you should have listened to me. Wow. You should have listened to the man of God who's on board with you. That's something. It says, and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For they stood before me this night, an angel of God. Whew. It's Jesus, folks, that appears to Paul. It's Jesus that appears and saves your life, folks. He appeared in my life and saved my life, July 17th, 1979. He appeared in my life in the worst disaster of that time in my life and saved my life. How do I know it was Jesus? He says, whom I belong and whom I serve. We know that Paul does not serve angels. That's how we know it's Jesus. It's Jesus saying, do not be afraid. If you're afraid in this hour of the storm, if you're afraid about what's going to happen with the government, if you're afraid what's going to happen, you know, with the United States, if you're afraid, what's Jesus saying? Do not be afraid. Get in that place of refuge. Get in that place of trust. That's what the Bible's telling us to do. Not suggesting, it's telling us what to do. Don't be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. The mission will be accomplished. The mission will be accomplished, and indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Don't jump ship. Don't jump. The first, you know, I hear people say, I'm moving to Poland. Somebody said that, actually said, they said, I'm leaving the country. I said, well, where are you going? Poland. You know what Poland's gun laws are like there? I mean, you better examine, you know, where you're moving, you know. I'm leaving the country, you know. Well, then why is everybody breaking the law to get in the country? There's no other country where people are breaking the law to get into, except for this country, you know, and trying, risking death. Folks, we're all refugees, I'm telling you. In this storm, we're all refugees. Whew. Where was I? Take heart, men, for I believe God that you will all, just as I told you, be saved. Whoever will, however, we must run around on a certain island. And when the 14th night had come, as they were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. Now, I have a sense that God's got a plan. I have a sense that my destiny is not death by cancer. I have a sense of it. And it's instilled by faith and love. I mean, I have a sense of that. I have a sense that God has plans for this country. I have a sense about that. I'm eternally hopeful because I'm a believer. That's who I am. I am a believer. I believe God's bigger and that he has a plan. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings and found it to be 3 fathoms. Then, fearing lest they should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors. What do you think the 4 anchors of the soul are? There are 4 anchors that I see in this picture of the soul. They drop 4 anchors that will hold you in the face of the storm. You can write this down. 4 anchors that are going to hold you. What happens? Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for the day to come. The first anchor is prayer. First anchor of your soul is prayer. And we're doing it, aren't we? Oh, God! I mean, we pray. I mean, on the battlefield, the first guy thinking, oh, God, help me. See, we're praying. That's the first anchor is prayer. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship that they let down the skiff into the sea under the pretense of putting out the anchors from the ship, Paul said to the centurion, unless these men stay in this ship, you cannot be saved. Stay with the ship. Whatever ship you're with, I'm telling you, whether it's church, you know, whatever that refuge, stay with the ship. Stay with that thing. So the second anchor is fellowship. Prayer and fellowship. Why? Because prayer brings hope. Prayer brings hope. Where 2 or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. 4 anchors. Prayer, fellowship. Those are 2 of them. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it go, falling off. And the day was out to be dawned. Paul implored them to take some food. So the third anchor is faith. Prayer, fellowship. When you fellowship together, faith rises. And the 4th anchor is food. That's the best thing we do as Christians. We eat. I mean, think of it. When you gather around a table, we do it with our kids, you know, did it yesterday, and we eat together, it brings love. 4 anchors of the soul. 4 anchors right there. Prayer, fellowship, faith, and food. It says, I pray, take some food. Today is the 14th day of you have waited and continued without food and eat nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair of your head will fall from your head or any of you. Not a hair of your head. Wow, I see that's happening to some of you already this morning. Not a hair of your head is falling out. Great hair, Doug. Wow. See, God, my wife is the most spiritual person I know. Why? Because she could put on a meal and make you feel comforted. make you feel comfortable. She's done it 100 times as a prophetic act of giving people a place of refuge and strength. And I hope that they go away feeling much better than when they came. That's what we want. We want people to come. So you need to eat together. And that's what we're going to do when we have communion together. Paul had communion right there. And when he had said these things, he took bread. Whew, what does that sound like? It's something we do on a weekly basis here. We have prayer. We have fellowship. Faith arises. And we have communion. We're doing it, folks. We're facing the storms of life. You guys have carried me through my storm so wonderfully. We have helped carry Willie through his storm of life. Now we're helping Laura carry her, you know, through her storm of life. The storms of life that Johnny carried them through. So many storms, so many unbelievable things that we never saw coming, and we're having come together in fellowship and prayer and faith with food. Whew. Oh my goodness. The benefits that Willie's put on with food. I just like being friends with him to see what he's cooking. When am I getting invited over? You know what I mean? I'm you know? Oh my gosh. I mean, sirloin, should I go say more? You know? Oh, beautiful. Food strengthens. Food makes us feel better. It's designed by God to help us get to that next place. It's an anchor for our soul. It's called soul food, right? Woo, there we go. I just thought of it. But anyway, it's an anchor. And he said these things and he took in bread. And thank God in the presence of them all. I think he kind of snuck communion in on him. You know what I mean? Like he sort of sneaks it in, you know. He didn't say it like this. And the night before Jesus died, they took bread, you know, and blessed it and gave it to the disciples. He didn't do it that way. They just had a meal together. See, and when you're with friends, you know, and whatever you call them, believers, unbelievers, Christians, followers of Jesus, whatever, you know, whatever you want to call them, atheists, agnostics, you know, whatever. When you eat with people, just believe something special is happening. Something special is happening. Every time Rhonda and Doug and I and Judy go out to eat, something special happens. Like nothing else can happen in that place. We did it on Monday. We went out to dinner, our lunch. Oh my gosh. When you're retired, you know, you take advantage and you do that kind of thing. You'll get there, Ken. You'll get there. Oh, Lord. Oh. And they were encouraged and also took food themselves. And all, and in all, were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea and became gluten-free. Proof that the gluten-free diet will make you feel better. Oh. Whew. Should I stop there? I could go on and on and on. It's so wonderful. I want you to read the story for yourself. But as the ushers come, we're going to receive communion together. Because we know this mission, in spite of all the problems we have, it's possible. It's possible with the help of God and the Holy Spirit.